B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up? This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The biggest thing is New England isn't for every player. Let's just say that first and foremost. Cassius went to what? UCLA? These guys used to party and having a lot of fun everywhere he went. So clearly New England is not the place you want to go and think you've just been a play first and then you do your work later. No, it's work first and then we play. Look, nothing was fun about last season, okay? That's the first thing. I mean, it just wasn't a great year overall with all the COVID mess and all that stuff. And then also on top of it, the team wasn't just doing well. So when you hear guys speak that way about the actual organization versus my time being there, at times past me, the guys were having a lot of fun. They were winning championships, and that's the most important thing. That's what it's all about.
The fun comes in the winning, according to Deion Branch. The fun comes in the winning. Most popular or common message out of Foxborough over the years.
And yeah, that's a nice way of saying it sucks there.
Yeah, and in all honesty, I think that there's value in that. Absolutely, there's value in that. So if you can sit there and say at the end of the day, well, it's worth it because we're going to win. We're going to be in the AFC Championship game X number of years in a row. We're going to go to 9 Super Bowls. We're going to win 6 of them. Yes. Absolutely. But Brady was there during those years.
Right.
So was it the quote-unquote Patriot way that produced all of that, or was it Tom Brady?
Right. Was it Bill's Wednesday morning meeting, or was it Tom Brady in the two-minute drill on Sunday?
Yeah.
If you had to choose between the two of those, who on earth is picking Bill's stupid meeting?
And we'll play more from Deion Branch here for you this hour on Felger Maz. Again, Mike is out today. Jim Murray's alongside Adam Jones. Here to give us headlines as well. And Jones is going to stick around for the baseball hour again, right? Are you with me again tonight, Jones?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be here.
The old short straw.
Yep. Just making sure Murray is. Murray's been like let out of jail. Like the happiest man here. Whenever Felger's out.
He's Cassius Marsh out of Foxborough.
Yeah. Oh, seriously. Murray's like, this is the best thing ever. Seriously, what a gig. What a great gig.
Dinner with the wife, little walk after. Oh. Now the sun's coming out.
But Branch isn't the only one who was sort of, I don't want to say shot back, but he was on the early edition last night on NBC Sports Boston, defending the Patriots side of it. Joe Judge, the coach of the Giants, had a similar comment on a podcast about how after the Patriots lost in 2017, Julian Edelman went in, put a message on the board, winning is fun. Again, that was the year of the Palace Q. So there was a lot going on in Foxborough at that time, and I would tell you that Brady's unhappiness probably on some level did kind of trickle down to the team. And there were all types of supportive messages from Malcolm Butler on social media. Danny Amendola sniped at the team. There was all kinds of stuff going on at that point in time because they didn't win. So the winning was, as Chris Gasper would say, a deodorant. Winning is a great deodorant. But the winning always took place when Brady was here. Now without Brady, they're 7-9. So the Cassius Marshes of the world have a little more juice or something to stand on when the Patriots are 7-9, which brings us to Dave in Wilmington. Dave, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey, I think who the hell is this ass clown, Cassius Marsh? I mean, he was probably in the back of the room drinking a Yoo-Hoo, making paper airplanes when Belichick's speaking up there. I don't know why you're giving him so much credit. I don't even know who this guy is.
No, look, I'm with you, caller, in that who knows? Who cares? He was a nobody on this team. He played 9 games. I just pair this commentary, which is, you typically wouldn't hear in recent years, or at least during when they were winning. Super Bowl championships and we're the most dominant team in the last 20 years. You wouldn't hear this crap even from a low-level player like this. But you pair this commentary along with what's going on with Stephon Gilmore and the fact that he's a no-show and Bill's making excuses for him. Oh, we don't take a head count. You don't take a head count? At the OTAs? Come on. That, Dante Hightower, who I think is telling you, not so subtly on social media, he's not going to take a pay cut when they probably asked him to. N'Keal Harry, a bum's bum, telling Bill, trade me. I demand a trade. Who the hell are you? What it really speaks to is he's lost power. He doesn't have the cachet that he once had when Brady was here. That's all.
Yeah, it also tells you that players aren't necessarily all that afraid of being shipped out of here. So in the past, you were being shipped out of a pretty good place because they were winning Super Bowls and going AFC title games all the time.
Right, because right now it's no different than any other place.
Correct.
Exactly.
When the work environment sucks and you're 7-9, it's not so bad to get sent out of here. Exactly.
Which is why we're playing the Cassius Marsh comments now, because what the caller said is right. This guy's a clown. He was here for 9 games.
Hey, Bill, he's making spitballs back here.
As we said, we have the Carolina Panthers this week.
Somebody's flicking paper footballs, Bill.
What did he say? Drinking yoo-hoos?
Yeah, yes.
Drinking yoo-hoos and making paper airplanes.
Yeah.
That's a good
line. Thank you, Matthew. Talking Cassius.
Whoops, missed the button there. Sorry, Murray. Chuck is in D.C. Chuck, go. Chuck!
Oh, no.
Oh boy.
That sounds like a contest.
Here we go. They're giving away tickets again on the music stations. That's what they're doing. I'm going to keep trying here because I am determined to talk to the people.
The WROR ticket weasel.
He is just like a little chipmunk funneling through the wires here in the building, Murray.
Oh, boy.
They're building these little tunnels.
Oh, no.
Steve is in Middleborough. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, gentlemen. I use that term loosely. I'll be real brief here, but how hard is for you guys to understand that Brady is the Patriots way because of 20 years of tutelage from Bill? He wasn't this way coming out of college in 2000. You guys got to understand who planted the seed and fertilized the finished product, which is Brady. Okay, guys, take care.
Okay, so Steve, it's a logical argument, except couldn't we actually make the argument the other way too? Couldn't we look at it and say maybe Belichick was the product of Brady and not the other way around?
Yeah. So Brady doesn't win, well, now 7, but he wouldn't have won 6 without Belichick. I do believe that. How many do you think he would have won? I think he would have won regardless. I think Brady would have won regardless, or without Bill Belichick.
So, look, I mean, going back that first decade.
Not six, but multiple.
Would he have gotten the chance, with whoever, Al Groh, with the Jets? Probably not. Like, It was a perfect marriage as this thing started. But I do believe if he was drafted somewhere else and given that chance, he definitely would have won 1 or 2.
See, the problem the caller has is that the reality now is that Brady went somewhere else and elevated another team and won a championship
Correct.
In his first year. And Bill went 7-9.
Right. Brady's won without Bill. Bill hasn't won without Brady.
And that's never going away until Bill wins. That's never going away.
And then they're tied.
And so, right. So Murray says it's back to 50-50 at best.
Yep.
At best. I thought it was the quarterback before. I thought it was 52-48, 55-45, whatever. 55-45 was probably a little too big.
Yeah, and who thought it was Bill?
Felger, among others.
He's admitted he's wrong on that.
No.
The last caller still says it was Brady becoming Brady. It was largely a product of Bill. I think there's some truth to that.
That's okay, though. I'm glad people have picked a side. That's all I really wanted last year was pick an effing side.
Right, when somebody's how can you? It's 50-50. Yeah, could you debate it?
They both made each other. Okay, fine. If we were discussing that between 2001 and 2009, all right. Now, since then, pick a side.
Oh, it's the quarterback. It is so the quarterback. Jordan's in Florida. Jordan, go.
Hypothetically speaking, let's say Belichick told his players the reason why he benched Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. Do you think he would have more respect from his players, or do you think he got more respect to this day because in his mind he's the best coach and he doesn't have to explain anything to anyone? Because I think him not communicating enough to his players is why some of his players are not respecting him as much. Like, it's one thing not to answer questions to the media, but I think you have to talk to your players. Like, you have to answer their questions.
Okay, so Jordan, look, I think that Bill probably picks his spots on that one over the years and knows which guys to call in and get on his side, and then the message gets filtered down to the team through the key players. So whether that's Brady, whether that's Teddy Bruschi, whether that was Rodney Harrison or Devin McCourty or Matthew Slater, who again is sitting in the back of the room, notes.
No, he's in the front of the room.
Bill, you said we have Carolina this week. You said they came out of the league in 1995. Who was the quarterback then? Can you tell us? Shut up, Matthew. Just talk about the Carolina Panthers this week. Bill, was it Kerry Collins? I think I know. Bill, was it? Bill.
It's like Horseshack. Yeah. That's a dated reference that nobody knows.
No, I actually got that.
Well, I know you did. Yeah, look it up. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah. I got the answer. Ooh,
oh,
ooh.
Oh, oh, Mr. Belichick. Mr. Belichick. Mr. Belichick.
So,
hey, Slater, ease
now
up.
Now I lost my train of thought, Murray. Now I'm completely disrupted my train of thought.
Oh, jeez, Matthew.
I can't
shut
remember what I was
going
to say. Oh, my God. I totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, and it was good, too. Jeez. Murray back there doing his horse shack, cracking me up over here. Holy smokes. 617-779-0985. More of your calls when we come back on Felger and Mass.
Felger and Mass. Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Mass. What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Here you go, Welcome Billy. Very back. Good.
Ah, geez, Slater's asking a question again.
Mr. Belichick, Mr. Belichick. Oh, 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 I got a question about this week's opponent.
Signed, Edelman's mother.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's the scene, though. Bill Belichick addressing the classroom. And Matthew Slater and Devin McCourty getting heckled by the other kids in the class. That is the image that these two guys are painting today, Murray and Jones. Oh, goodness. Absolutely hysterical. Ari is in his car. Ari, go ahead. What do you got?
Yo, what's going on, guys? So, I get it. Cam's done. He's over. It's done. But if there's one thing that I look at and I don't understand what other people do, based on the available quarterbacks that we had prior to this past season, before we had Cam, right, our team was pretty much garbage going into it, especially with all the opt-outs, etc. My question to you guys is this. When you say that Brady went, we went 7-9 without Brady, what quarterback would have taken you even to the playoffs this past season with this roster?
I don't know. A bunch of them.
Yeah, so I
like,
you know,
what quarterback? What quarterback that was realistically available? Maybe nobody. But they could have drafted somebody last year, which I advocated for and I continue to advocate for. I don't know. There's a bunch of quarterbacks who I think could have brought that team to the playoffs. I don't know how many were available.
I mean, Brady did bring him to the playoffs the year before. He went 12-4.
Right. So this is the thing. We had a caller say, you can't compare. If you just look at the offensive personnel from 2019 and 2020, it was pretty much the same. Same suck wide receivers. Edelman was another year older and more beat up, yes, last year. But I would argue they actually had better running backs last year and that they actually used Damian Harris, who was their best back. Brady had that team at 12-4 in 2019. They went 7-9 last year. So they would have dipped a little bit more last year because, again, they were really bad in certain areas. And it's, you know, good that they even went 7-9 in a lot of ways. But they went 12-4 was like a miracle in 2019. Yeah. They would have won like 10 games last year.
I agree. 10-6. You're in the playoffs. You probably lose in the first round again. Like, Brady's not a miracle worker, but he would have had the team in the playoffs. And, again, another quarterback, a competent quarterback. I think with that roster, you can elevate your roster if you're a good quarterback in this league. Again, how many were available? I have no idea. But, you know, if they had Rodgers or Mahomes or even like Dak Prescott or somebody like that, I think you could win games with this roster. I do.
So I still don't understand what the caller's point was.
I think he's saying that, outside.
Not blaming Bill, he's blaming the quarterback?
Well, I don't know. It's a good point. I think he's blaming Bill for the roster. I don't know where he comes down on Bill, the coach, but I think he's blaming Bill for the roster, I think.
So, look, if you give Bill a representative quarterback, yeah, he'll have a winning record. Yeah, and I've said this over and over again. I'll continue to say it. I'll always say it until proves otherwise. And that is, you give him a half-decent roster, he'll go 10-6 or 11-5. He will. He'll make the playoffs in all probability. He's not winning anything without the quarterback. He's not. Chris is in Hartford. Go ahead, Chris.
Murray, that is so much material for you. I can't wait for this whole season. You doing the classroom bit. You got to go through the rosters, see what you can do with it, man. That is going to be so much fun. But listen, Brady loved the fact that if he just fell in line, Belichick, the team would also. So Brady didn't have to do too much there. He knew if he followed Belichick, everyone would follow him. Have a great day, guys.
So, Chris, look, I think that, again, he was Bill's greatest leverage. And then the in-game stuff is as important as the negotiating table and the locker room and everything else, because you can coach a game a hell of a lot easier when you have a quarterback like Brady. To me, the situation that sticks out more than anything is that coin toss. Bill got all this credit for deferring and taking the ball in the second half, and everybody's saying, oh, they get two possessions in a row. They can completely take control of the game there. That was only true because they had a quarterback who could manage the clock no matter how much time was left in the second quarter. If there were 4.5 minutes left, Brady could milk it, bring it down to the wire, and get points. If there was 1.5 minutes left, Brady could zip down the field and get you points. Brady gave you tremendous control over the clock. So if you want to say to me that Bill was able to control the game through Brady, yes, through Brady. And then when the Patriots didn't have the ball, the one thing I will give Belichick credit for, Murray, is the defense. Like, I think we saw it in Kansas City last year. They went into Kansas City. Everyone thought they might get blown out. It was a COVID week, no quarterback. They slowed down the Chiefs.
Well, even in the 2018 playoff run that kind of came out of nowhere, I think at the time, Jones, on your show at night, you were saying Bill got his groove back, right?
Yes, like, correct.
Now, granted, they weren't great in that second half in Kansas City. You don't win that game without Brady, especially picking up all those third downs. But, you know, you can argue for Bill during that run, too. He was really good with the defense in late 2018.
But he still had a quarterback who made all the plays at the biggest time.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's what I was wrong about then. I'm like, hey, Bill figured it out on defense. Well, you still need the quarterback who can bail you out of a lot of those situations. Remember, you know, Bill's not winning squat if Tom Brady's not converting 3 third-and-10s or whatever it was in the AFC title game in Kansas City.
I just think that, again, Brady was such a weapon, and not just for the points. He could just allow you to control the game. Ryan's and Bill. Ryan, you sit tight because we'll get to you next segment. He wants to talk about the Brandon Carlo contract. Bill's in Quincy. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. Great show. I just want to point out, I think, you know, it's great to pick one or the other, but the story's not written yet. We're having fun kind of analyzing Brady versus Belichick in the middle. And I also just want to point out the fact that, you know, we talk about who influenced who more, but, you know, everything that Brady learned was 20 years under Belichick. So what he used in Tampa was all of what was, maybe not all of it, but a lot of what was taught to him while he was under Belichick's tutelage. Thank you.
Okay. Murray, you have anything to say to that?
It's written in pencil. It's not written in stone. It's not permanent yet. But right now, it's written in pencil. You know, we're looking at it right there. Right now, Brady has won, period. But it's in pencil. It's not permanent yet. Give it a few years. One of them has to walk away first. Then it's written in stone.
Yeah, and just...
The pressure's on Bill, though.
I don't know. How much did Brady learn that he couldn't have learned from another coach? I don't know. I mean, I'm saying I don't know.
Yeah, but look at how undisciplined Tampa was prior to him getting there. You know, like, so again, the penalties went down. They were a tight ship.
Is that because Brady learned it from Belichick, or is that because Brady knows how to command a room and lead? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I have to, you know, as much as I'm Tom over team and, you know, I'm on Brady's side of this, like, that's learned. I don't think he got it from Lloyd Carr in the day.
But here's my point. We both said we thought he'd probably win multiple championships without Bill. If he were drafted by another team, I still think Brady would have won. He's that talented. So, I don't know, like, did he need to learn all that stuff from Bill to win multiple championships? I don't personally believe that. Maybe I'm wrong, and there's no real way to prove it, but that's not what I believe.
See, I think he's a better player because he played for Bill. I do believe that is true. But as I said earlier, Bill can go over things in excruciating detail. And I just think that most players can't absorb it. I just don't think they're either smart enough or don't have the attention to detail or aren't as focused. Because most people aren't. Let's face it. Most people don't have the attention span and the focus, particularly in this day and age.
Yeah, try sitting through 20 minutes of Bill droning on in a press conference. Like, you're going to lose your focus a little bit. Now imagine that in a team meeting for an hour.
Right, so it's going to take someone sitting in that chair who's locked in and literally eating up everything he says. And in the case of Belichick, you should want to listen. I think that's a fair point. But I think that it takes a certain someone to be able to absorb it and apply it. And that's why I think ultimately Brady was the difference there. We had a caller earlier who wanted to know why are we putting any stock into what Cassius Marsh says. Tom and Quincy, I think, agrees. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I got you guys' point about, you know, how Brady kind of held the room and, you know, other people would go along because Brady did. And I'm willing to accept that. However, I'm not willing to accept the comments by Cassius effing Marsh, okay? Because, I mean, I can deal with it. And if someone came out that was actually a player for the Patriots and come out and was like, hey, you know what? The Super Bowls are great, but, man, did the environment suck. This stiff, did he make a comment about any of the other seven teams he's played for in the last 7 years?
He talked very fondly about Pete Carroll.
That's why he went there twice, a little six-month stint on the practice squad. This guy's a chump. And the whole thing, too, is like the internet's a very strange place where this absolute tool is asked to sit down for a podcast to talk about a team that he was on for 9 games 3 years ago. Get a grip.
Okay, so Tom, listen, you call the show a lot. Okay, you call the show a lot. And what you're saying about Cassius Marsh is what a lot of people are saying about Cassius Marsh. Who the hell is he? Why should we listen to Cassius Marsh? If this were 5 years ago, I think everyone would have agreed with you. Do you listen to him now and say, well, you know what? It's a little different now because Bill went 7-9.
Well, that's why I was agreeing with you where because Brady's not here. So, yes, I understand that point. However, even if it was 5 years ago and it was someone like him that came out and said it, people would be like, dude, you're lucky to even be sitting in the room.
Okay,
like,
but see,
what the hell are you talking about?
See, here's where I put stock in it, and this is something that Murray said earlier this hour. I forget if it was last segment or maybe end of last hour. It's not in a vacuum. Like, Gilmore has a problem right now.
Right, it's coupled with everything else going on.
Hightower has a problem right now. Winovich has some sort of issue going on right now. N'Keal Harry is demanding a trade. And like some of those guys, you might look at him and go, Harry, bum. Cassius Marsh, bum. Maybe even Winovich, bum. But, like, it seems like a lot of people aren't happy right now. And I don't think that's a coincidence. That's my only point. And that's why I put stock in these Cassius Marsh comments, along with the fact that I kind of like him, along with that.
Well, there's the shock of the day, Jones, that you would warm up to someone like Marsh who's just ripping away at the Patriots and the Patriot way. More specifically about Belichick. Mm-hmm. I don't think that might be the most predictable news of the day. But then again, that's why we have Jones here.
I just want to say this is only really for Jones. You watch a ton of South Park, right?
Yes.
Remember the episode where Stan is the skier and they keep calling him Darsh?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to
say Stan Darsh.
Cassius Marsh once played for the Patriots, and now he just wants to talk a lot of crap. What's up, Marsh?
Darsh.
That was really just for me and Jones.
No, that's fine. I'm all for it. I know who some of the characters on South Park are. I did not watch regularly, Murray, but that sounded pretty good. That was, again, we'd get Horseshack, and that wasn't Cartman, was it?
No, it was, no. It was supposed to be like 80s skier.
Yeah, like big Trey Parker voice. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Jones, get your headlines. Earlier in the segment, I mistakenly called up Ryan and Barica, who wanted to talk about the Brandon Carlo contract, which we'll get to in the next segment. We'll still take your calls on Belichick. Here's Jones with the latest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot. 98.5. Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
On the near side, here's Bergeron. He'll wedge it ahead. Marchand working against Dunn. Pulls it in front of his bench. Saucered ahead. Bergeron far circle. Shoots Pennington the save. Rebound. They score! Brandon Carlo shorthanded the 20th Bruin to register a goal here in the playoffs. And the Boston Bruins have tied game 4 at 2 apiece.
So new contract today for Brandon Carlo. 6 years, $24.6 million for the Bruins, an average of 4.1. The average cap hit for the Bruins over the length of the contract, $4.1 million. I'll spare you the specifics of the deal because you don't really need to know them. But the salaries go up in what amounts to the middle 2 years of the deal, I think you said, Jones. Years 3 and 4,
yeah,
salary peaks.
It's he also has some no movement protection in there as well.
Okay, but the bottom line is the cap hit, which is really the only thing that matters to the fan, is $4.1 million. 6 years for Carlo, who's 24 years old. So I'll ask you two both again, do you like it?
Yeah, I do. I love it. And again, just again, basing it on the money, the number against the cap, $4 million or $4.1, like you absolutely do that. And I get the concussion issues with this guy. And I tend to, and yes, it's a serious issue, like in any sport, and especially in the NHL, but they're going to happen. And he might need to learn to protect himself a little bit better. But I don't tend to think that he's like one hit away from, you know, needing a ramp to get into his house and being out of the league. It comes down to this, like, where are you going to find a defenseman that age, that size, on the open market? Like, you're not going to. So in a lot of ways, they were kind of forced into it, but I don't think it's a bad thing. So overall, given the number, yeah, I think it's great.
I like the contract. I just don't know how trustworthy of a player he is, and I think I'm a little at odds with Jim on this. Like, the games played have gone down every year since he entered the league, and some of that's wonky because, again, there have been shorter seasons the last couple of years. But 3 out of 5 years, he either hasn't been available for the playoffs, like his first two playoff runs, or he got knocked out in the middle of the playoffs, like this past year. Like, I just hope they don't say, well, we got Brandon Carlo signed. You know, we got to deal with McAvoy next year. We already have Grizzlick. You know, maybe we add another piece and we're fine in our top four. Like, I think they got to be leaning more towards building more depth there and getting more pieces there because I just don't know how trustworthy Carlo is in terms of being out there. That's not his fault. I'm not blaming him for it. I just think it's the fact of the matter. Like, he hasn't been out there a lot when you've needed him most in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Sweeney's done a lot of these good deals with his own players. A lot of guys signed for less than I would have anticipated. I saw Carlo signed an extension. I'm like, it's got to be like $5 million a year. 4-1's a great number. 6 years is a bit long, but whatever. That probably helped you get to that number. And maybe that's an acknowledgement from Carlo himself that my market may not be that hot because I haven't been out there a ton. So I like the contract. I don't know how much I can trust him back there, and I hope the Bruins don't kind of rest and say, all right, we got Carlo, we're all set.
No, it's a fair thing to be concerned about. Again, the concussion issue, how he's missed games, but then I would point to, you know, when he was healthy in 2019, they made the finals. So, like, you need him out there.
True. That was when all the good teams got knocked out by somebody else, but yes, that is true. They did get there. That's true.
But given the number, if nothing else, I'll say this. Like, so it's something you just kind of mentioned. Like, with Sweeney, I have some trepidation with him at the trade deadline. I certainly don't trust him at the draft. When it comes to re-upping his own guys, I think it's win after win. I was surprised that the money was only 4.1.
So the next big one is going to be Taylor Hall. We'll see what that number comes in at. Again, I'd like to keep that number in the fives. Okay, that's sort of, well, let's see how that one shakes out. And maybe this deal gives us some indication as to how that's going to work out because they gave Carlo 6 years to keep that cap number down. So I'm starting to wonder if maybe now we'll see a similar thing with Taylor Hall.
Do they need to extend the years on Carlo because Hall's number is going to come in a little higher?
Well, it could be that.
And they're saying, let's keep his AAV down so we can keep everybody.
Yeah, it could be that, Jones. That's another good theory. I think, you know, they're all connected, obviously, when you're talking about a real cap and a hard cap league. It's the only hard cap league in sports. Every other cap is malleable. Baseball doesn't have one. They have a luxury tax. But every other cap is malleable. You can totally shape it. In hockey, you can't do it that way. I was pleasantly surprised by the 4.1. I am a little concerned about his durability, too. But the real second guess for the Bruins here is because they had no choice. They didn't draft. They didn't develop. The free agent market sucks. What were their alternatives? And you just said in your last headlines, Kevin Miller's announced his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have either one of those guys in the series against the Islanders, at least at the end of the series. And you were a puddle in front of your own goal. You couldn't handle that area of the net at all. So now Miller's going, you're going to let Carlo go too? Can't do it. They had to keep him. They had no choice. So if the sacrifice was the years versus the cap hit, I think they came out of it okay. He's 24. So I think at the end of the day, I like the deal. I still think they need help on D. And you and I were talking before the show, Pac-Man, about Ryan Suter. Murray, do you have an opinion on Ryan Suter, who was bought out by the Minnesota Wild? He's 36. He's a left shot.
I don't actually. No,
I put you on the spot there. Yeah. I'm sorry. So I know Pac-Man and I were discussing it before the show. Suter at one point was one of the best defensemen in the league.
Yeah, he signed a 13-year, $98 million deal, matching with Zach Parise, and the Wild just bought out both of them.
So he's now a free agent. He's on the market. He's the kind of guy I think the Bruins need. I don't know if he's a top pair defenseman anymore.
How big is he?
He's 6'1", 210. So, but he plays bigger than that, Murray. He's solid. He's really solid.
Plays a ton of minutes. Plays all situations, too.
Yeah, he is he's a first-pairing defenseman for the large majority of his career, Jim.
And the age, again, was 36, is what you said?
He's 36 now.
So if you're going to spend money, someone I mentioned, like, and again, if you watch the Cup run, like that David Savard, who was on Tampa, that's someone that can give you 20 minutes a game, 6'2", like 230. Like, if you're going to spend money on another defenseman and a guy that can add some physicality, like, spend the money on someone like that who's younger. I think he's 30.
Okay, left shot or right shot? He's got to be a left.
Savard, I don't know. Suter is definitely left.
Yeah, Suter's a left.
Let me find out.
I don't know Savard.
They need a left shot defenseman.
But so, like, to me...
Yeah, he shoots right.
I don't know the number on Suter. I don't want to be vague on Suter, but, like, I need to know what the number is there.
Sure, of course.
You know, because he's at 36. I don't think he's as broken down as Parise. We were talking about this a little bit before the show with James Scaramuzzino. Like, I don't think he's as broken down as Parise and as done as Parise. He still plays a ton of minutes, but he had, like, 19 points last year. Like... I'm not overpaying for that. And if you're going to get him on a deal, is Boston the first place he'd go to? Like, there's a lot of other teams that feel a lot closer to a cup than the Bruins. Like, if I'm him, I'm looking at Toronto, and I don't know what their books look like. I'm looking at Tampa. I know they have no room in terms of salary cap space. I'm looking at the teams out west, like Colorado and Vegas. Like, if he's going somewhere on a deal, I'm guessing he's going somewhere like that as opposed to here, but that's just a guess.
Yeah, so look, it's a fair point. I'm looking at it more from would you want him? And my answer is yes. All those things you're saying, Pac-Man, are legitimate things, specifically as it relates to the value of the contract. But if you're the Bruins, this guy's made over $100 million. Would you take a shot? My answer is yeah. Hell yeah. You're talking about a top-pairing defenseman, really, for the large majority of his career. Maybe he's not that anymore, but he's still playing over 20 minutes a night. And I think they could use a guy like that as Lozon insurance at a minimum.
If you had to pick one or the other, a defenseman like Suter or bringing back Hall?
I bring back Hall.
Well, see, I think you can do both.
Hall's an upper echelon talent.
What's a bigger need? A top four defenseman or keeping a top six forward?
I would take Hall back because of the age. So, you know, Suter is a 1 or 2 year thing. You know, you're not going to get 4 years out of that. Hall, you could get 5 years out of, and you don't have anything coming through your system. So that's a critical factor for me in that decision. Okay, look, here's what we're going to do. We talked about a lot of stuff today. It's been mostly Patriots and Brandon Carlo, a little bit of MLB. But it's really been Patriots and the comments by Cassius Marsh as it relates to the current state of the Patriots sans Tom Brady. And also the Brandon Carlo contract with the Bruins. So here's what we're going to do. We do this a lot. We'll start with Tommy and Lynn, and then we'll go to Ryan and Bill Ricker, because they each want to talk about one of those things.
Great.
So, Tommy, go.
What's up, boys? All right, here's my take. Maz Murray, Adam Jones, all right. Belichick's been losing the room since Brady left. It started with the Garoppolo trade. That's where they were starting to lose room, and that's where the Patriots' way started going down the tubes, slowly going down the tubes, guys. And also, if Belichick keeps messing up, then he should belong in the Bahamas, and I'll leave it from there.
Okay, so again, that's Tommy. Now here's Ryan and Barica. Go ahead, Ryan.
What's going on, boys? Listen, I like the Brandon Carlo contract, all right? It's a good money, and you know, it's 6 years. You know, we're only 24. Here's what worries me. I have the same worries as you. Jones, it's the playoffs, okay? He can't play in the playoffs. His availability blows, okay? So that's what worries about me there, okay? And I am going to take a shot at Suda because it's not like we can trust Zaboro. I think Zaboro blows, okay? I think we all need to keep it in our pants with Jacob Zaboro, okay? So that's my point on him. And, you know, I think you can get Suda and, you know, Hall both, you know, because I don't think Suda's looking for money at this point, you know? I think he wants a shot at the cup. I think you can get him for like $1 million and then re-sign Hall, you know? We definitely need a tough guy, you know, now that Kevin Miller's gone. You know, we don't have one of those.
Yes, so, who is that?
Yeah, might take a little more than $1 million. But But I like
Trent
the way he's
Frederick.
Thinking.
I mean, I know he's a forward, but still, like
Frederick, bring back the new Zoe and Beetle intern, right? Waxy. Tell you,
those guys sometimes sound so alike, it's scary. Like Tommy and Lynn and Ryan and Bill Ricker, brothers from another mother. They're really. We got to do the email of the day, too. We got to jam that in here. So, Billy, go ahead, please.
Yeah.
It's the Mimecast email of the day.
Yeah, Horseshack.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
I like Murray.
And I think Mez is a boob.
Jones is a cat.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
You can also send those to Maz or to Murray at 985thesportshub.com. Although you get to Felger, that'll work too. Email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. That's MIMECAST.com. Mimecast.com. So, Murray, yesterday, you know, you and I both were lamenting the darkness and the rain.
Yes.
And there was a guy who called in and told us to take, or emailed in and told us to take our vitamin D.
Yes, whining about the drought, and we need all this 2 weeks worth of rain and gloominess. Yes.
Yeah, so this was Dave. And I said, I didn't think the vitamin D worked without the sun. Like, you take it, but I think it has to be activated by the sun in order to work properly.
Right.
So Dave did email in. He says, you're a bit wrong on vitamin D activation. Sunlight not required. Liver and kidneys are necessary, however.
Very good, doctor.
Yes, I called it a hormone because your body produces it. And to be a wise ass, tell Big Jim I can't go out to sea. Been there, done that, both coasts, U.S. Coast Guard, now retired. Okay, so actually sounds like a pretty good guy, Murray. So he goes on to say, well, what if you take vitamin D supplement instead? Would you still be required to sunbathe to activate it? The answer is no, he writes. Even though the vitamin D you take still needs to be activated, this process is performed by your liver and kidneys, not by the sun. That's right. A quality vitamin D supplement will provide you with the exact same compound you would get from sunbathing. This chemical is known as...
Let's call it quality D.
Cholecalciferol. And it's inactive, and it's the inactive form of vitamin D. Okay, so he says that that's the one you have to take. Now, the vitamin D that you're taking, Pac-Man, I'm sure is not the quality form of vitamin D.
No, I said I'd be happy to never see the sun again. I'm okay with it.
So in any case, I just wanted to clear that up. Murray, you have any thoughts on the vitamin D?
Yeah, I'm just happy that the sun is actually out right now for the first time.
Is it out? Because the windows aren't open in the studio.
They're open here in the hot box. And yes, it's peaked out a little bit for the first time in a while. And it's
I
can already feel the serotonin being released from my brain because we need the sun. We need sunlight as human beings.
So that's
sunlight,
what I want.
Sunlight, not quality D, yes.
So that's the other thing is the liver and the kidneys, they don't produce serotonin, right? Which is the happy hormone or endorphin in the brain.
Are you asking me?
Well, no, that's right. I shouldn't be looking at you because you're an idiot.
Bill, I know. Yes, yes. I know, Bill.
I know the answer to that. Mr. Belichick. Oh.
Final word is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nope. So we referenced earlier in the show, and actually Big Jim mentioned earlier in the week, something that I was unaware of, something I think Maz was unaware of, that Marcus Smart has new representation.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Glushon Sports Management.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'm saying it correctly.
That Gershon Yabusele is now representing Marcus Smart in his negotiations with Brad Stevens. Who knows how they're going with all the tweets from the Celtics this week and going back to last week. But, well, apparently we want to pour one out for Marcus Smart's former agent, Happy Walters.
Happy Walters? Happy Walters.
It's Happy Walters. It's not a name that conjures up the likes of some of the great sports agents of all time, like Drew Rosenhaus. Instead, it's Happy Walters, which, again, as I've said over the last couple of days here with Maz, I'd like to think that Happy Walters comes in. You ready to deal, Danny? Ready for Happy Walters? Let's make a deal. Woohoo! Oh,
I freaking love it.
And instead, he actually looks like a finance bro when he's a ex-Hollywood agent and producer and whatnot. But that name, man, I don't know how you can't have fun with it. Well, it's time to get a deal done. Who's here? Happy Walters. Woohoo! Dance for me, Danny. Woohoo!
That's so great.
Oh, wait. I don't think I like that deal at all. Money's going down. Woohoo! What's that? Oh! Money's going up for Marcus. Woohoo! Happy Walters is here. I don't know how anyone could take that guy seriously.
Thank you for doing that for me. I heard that while I was gone. I'm like, I need to hear that. Happy Walters.
The horn's the best part. I love the horn.
Didn't you say the other day, call yourself Steve or something?
Right, yeah.
Just Fred, Irv. You can't go into a meeting and be yelled at. Happy Walters.
Danny, your 3 o'clock is here. Who is it? Guess who? Happy Walters is here. Hey, Danny. Let's get a deal done. Oh, I don't like that one at all. Dance. Woohoo!
What's that?
Oh, those are bank snaps. You want some over there, too?
Yeah, I got them for you. I hate those. That's scary.
Oh, they scare you.
Yeah.
Dance for me, Felger. It's Happy Walters time. Woohoo! Welcome back.
Unbelievable. Murray, did you actually just go out and buy that thing?
Let's see. What did I pick up today? No. I got the slide whistle.
You got a slide whistle.
This is what you're offering? I have to go to Marcus and tell him that's not a fair market deal. Oh, you want to give him 13? Woohoo! Yahoo! Now I'll tell my client. Happy Walters has got the deal done again. Woohoo! Tell him all the other basketball players. The money goes up with Happy Walters. Woohoo!
That's an all-timer.
That's from 2018. I got that from my old YouTube archives. That feels like a lot longer than that.
That is a great one, Murray. Yeah, that is a great one. You and Jones both on the top of your games today. That was something else.
Hey, I didn't do anything.
Holy crap, was that something. Anyway, significant piece of news with the Red Sox that we just got in the last, 5 minutes.
Oh?
Significant piece of news with the Red Sox.
Had to update my script for the first time all day.
So Jones, unfortunately, is going to give it to you in headlines, but it will also be the lead of the Baseball Hour, which will be here in a matter of minutes, and we'll also get to Rob Manfred's comments to Chris Mad Dog Russo. We'll touch on the All-Star game, but again, significant development with the Red Sox that Jones will tell you about here in just a minute. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.